Apple TV.
Hello and welcome back to Doctor Who.
You were gonna say hamster with a blunt pen knife, weren't you?
The best Doctor Who commentary podcast.
You fucking bitch! That's Toby Haydos and you know it.
Happy Doctor Who Day, everybody. Before we get to the Star Beast later tonight, me and the wonderful Dylan Rees, say hello, Dylan.
Hello, Dylan.
And the magnificent Joe Ford, say hello, Dylan.
Hello, Dylan.
Are going to watch the Screen of the Shalka episode 6, the last episode.
Oh, how exciting.
Are we here? You're audibly relieved.
Excited? Anxious? Happy?
I mean, I'm excited, anxious and happy, all in one big ball. I wonder if we could, because obviously we're not recording this on the 25th of November, because that would be silly, but if we could...
But I will be watching the Scream of the Shalka Part 6.
How do you think you'll spend the day? So, for instance, when Jodie Whittaker's first episode was due on, I was so excited. I just needed to immerse myself in Doctor Who. So I watched Inferno and Ambassadors of Death back to back, and that was just the day gone.
God bless you. So, you must have been ready for some new Doctor Who.
I was so ready. It timed perfectly as well. I got through Ambassadors, and I was like, how long have I got? And I was like, I could fit Inferno in here. And that was it, you know. Cracked a beer by episode 5 of Inferno and I was ready for The Woman Who Fell to Earth.
I did that on the 1st of November where I watched all the Tales of the TARDIS and including the story in between.
That's incredible.
And did it so it finished around 7:15, which was gave me 15 minutes to have tea for that BBC 4 documentary to start at 7:30 and then the concert at 8:30. Oh,
Dylan,
what a day.
This is the face of new fandom, all right? Wow. The boomer generation.
That is the most classic Doctor Who I've ever seen in the day. 24 episodes.
I mean, that is impressive. I think for the day of the Star Beast, because I'm going to be working nights for the 2 nights before, I'm going to watch the colourised Daleks on the 25th. And then I've got to scoot over to my mate Harry's house where we're going to watch the Star Beast together and with a couple of other people and soak it all up. So if all goes according to plan, when this is released, I'll be, I don't know, halfway through colourised Daleks and seeing brand new scenes with David Bradley cut in between William Hartnell.
Mine's quite a sad story because I was planning we were going to have a big buffet, you know, eat tons of food, enjoy Doctor Who. We had a blast, me and Mark, watching Power of the Doctor. And then he tells me a couple of weeks ago, he goes, oh, Sarah wants to meet me in London in November. We're going to do a tour of all Doctor Who locations. I was like, oh, great. Have fun. And then he told me the date. I went, oh, shit, you know that's the date of the Star Beast, don't you? We're all going to get to watch it together. So I should be sitting there on my own eating a pizza.
Oh, no, that's not fair.
If you want to come to London, you can come and hang out with me and my pal Harry and watch it with us if you want.
Oh, I'm there. I'm coming.
There you go.
I will literally be coming on that day.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Oh, no, wait, this is today, isn't it? We're doing it right now.
Hello. I know exactly where I'll be. There's Christmas markets on that weekend where I live, and my mate's coming up on the Friday night. My mate, he loves Doctor Who, so Friday night we'll hopefully take it easy. So on the Saturday, once we go to the markets at like 12 o'clock, we'll be boozing, and it'll just be doing that fine line between boozing but not getting brain dead.
I know, because you don't want to not remember Doctor Who.
No, we want to take in the Star Beast. But when we sit down to watch it, watch Rumoured to Be 6:30 tonight, we will be in that perfect optimum condition to see David Tennant, Catherine Tate piss about and beat the meat to just warm our hearts. I can't
wait. Evan! Did you say I didn't want anyone to drop like a spoiler review, but I needed someone to go to that 60th screening and just say how amazing it was.
Yeah, but no one was going to come out of that and say, oh, it was a load of old shit. At Russell T. Davis.
A writer of esteem, Niamh Fountain, who I really respect, wrote a little paragraph, like a spoiler-free paragraph about how extraordinary it was. I was like, that's all I need to hear. I think it's going to be amazing.
Just think, the day this drops, we will have seen a proper trailer for Wild Blue Yonder.
Ooh, it'll still just be that robot.
Redacted.
I don't know who's the hardest right now out of the three of us.
But... this is the day of Beep the Meep, isn't it? We all know it. This is the day of Beep the Meep. And I'm going to probably read the Star Beast in the morning just again.
And anyone listening to this, if you don't fucking buy me Beep the Meep for Christmas, you're in trouble, all right?
Now, just make sure you don't get too drunk, Luke, if you are going to be out day drinking, because I did that for Legend of the Sea Devils. And you know, and some
people... Oh no, you missed it.
No, but that was the worst thing. I had to rewatch it in the morning. I was like, oh, it is as bad as I remember it was.
No, it'll be a finely balanced.
Make sure you hydrate. Get some water in between each drink.
What, we're all grabbing water right now.
Yeah. Because we all want to remember episode 6 of Scream of the Shalka.
That's what we're here for, baby.
Exactly. So are we ready to dive in?
I'm ready, but I'm also really excited for the 60th, even though right now it's still a few weeks away.
This has become our like, our second Too Hot for TV about the 60th, isn't it, this episode?
I mean, it had to be because it certainly wasn't all about the 40th anniversary.
Did we go down well, Dylan? You know what I think about speculation episodes?
Yes.
Did we do all right?
Yes, actually. It was one of my most listened to episodes. It kind of makes me go, what's the fucking point of doing all this new Doctor Who stuff? Do a speculation episode and it gets more listens than things on Combat Rock and what have you. It's like, fuck you, Doctor Who fans.
It's annoying. You know, I put out a Power of the Doctor commentary a week after that, and that's been my number one forever. People just want to know about what's current half the time, don't they?
Okay, well, no, we
ain't doing that.
So,
we're not doing that.
Speaking of what's current,
I'm supposed to be doing the 1977 Doctor Who annual in a few weeks' time, but maybe I'll just review the Star Beast like everybody else.
Do you know what's astonishing is I thought I was old when this came out. This was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm ancient.
I don't want to think about it. Let's jump into episode 6 and pretend it's the freshest, newest thing and we're all still 21 years old.
Woo! And Luke is seven. Like 5.
Yes. Well, there you go. So I'll count us in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Titles.
Oh my God, lads, it's Doctor Who Day.
It's Doctor Who Day. The worst thing is we've got to finish this and then go to bed and wake up and go, we're still about 15 days or whatever it is. I've booked in for the next day to go to the Riverside thing to watch Adventure in Time and Space and do the quiz of Rassilon.
That's lovely.
Just because I know I'm going to be, I can't, I need more Doctor Who main veined at that point.
So we're getting like 3 weeks in a row, aren't we? And then it's just a small gap. Then it's Christmas. Then when's the next series dropping?
Probably in spring sometime.
Yeah, spring is the rumour.
So it'll probably be about 3 months.
I keep thinking Dylan's being really pretentious, holding his finger up at us, but it's to tell us to press play.
Well, we thought we'd have this subtle code so nobody knew what's going on, but...
We've mentioned it every episode.
Yeah. Look, chaos worldwide, people screaming, explosions. It's all going on in Schalke right now.
Like, I don't want to provoke like bootlegging or encourage it in any way, but I mean, maybe you don't want to shell out for Scream of the Schalke, and I understand that.
Well, as I said, this is still on the BBC website. It's just you'd have to watch it through the webcast way of doing it, which is harder.
Yeah, exactly. Because well, no one's got real-time player anymore.
No, it was saying, you need to download this. I thought, oh. For this.
It's real player, isn't it? Not real time player. Real time player just plays Mythmakers. was it real player or real time? Anyway, it's not important. Scream of the Shalka.
In real time.
It was real time.
I think so.
No, look, there's loads of shit going on. There's people dying. There's global catastrophes. Yeah. This is all
weird. Little bugs flying around and getting stuck to things.
This is a big scale story for Doctor Who to tell.
It does look like he's wearing a dressing gown, doesn't it? Yeah. Look at him.
Well, you've got to be comfy when you're saving the world. Arthur Dent taught us that.
You know, I was so excited because I couldn't find it anywhere. Then I realised Mark had it on the shelf. And then it made me laugh so much when I pulled it off the shelf and it was still in its fucking shrink wrap. He hadn't watched the thing. He'd bought it, but he hadn't watched it.
It's so strange I didn't get that DVD because I got every DVD.
Well, did you get Infinite Quest and all that lot?
No.
So when you say you got every DVD...
I got like all the... Not Doctor Screw. I got all the classic, you know, the ones that had that packaging.
Yeah. The ones that are slowly becoming worthless as the Blu-ray box sets come out.
They're more worthless now than there's ever been.
I know.
The Hooniverse is an iPhone and the Blu-ray box sets are probably never going to be finished.
Oh, I've still got...
I've not actually watched...
Matthew Purchase will shit himself.
Don't worry, I put out an interview with Chris Chapman yesterday. He's perfectly happy.
Yeah. Did he tell you which the next 10 box sets are?
He did, actually, yeah.
Oh, great. Can't wait to see season 4 complete for the first time.
I won't tell you how that one went down, but it's doing all right, I'll tell you.
Now, we're watching old Doki Who here confront the Schalke. And again, when I was watching this, I thought his performance is on point at this point. I know you cut, and we noticed the characters moving around a lot more, but it feels a lot more like the old school doctor or the new school doctor.
I think he's a good doctor.
You keep saying that, and I keep going, yeah, he does, he gets better. Basically, they should have edited this down to about 15 minutes and we could have got through it in no time. We should have, six days, we should have done the Six Stranger Films commentaries on all of them, shouldn't we?
Oh my fucking God. No, that would be so much worse.
Come the end of the TV movie, Paul McGann is dazzling.
Yeah.
Come the end of the Christmas Invasion, David Tennant is dazzling. Come the end of Screaming the Schalke,
he's opera singing.
Is tolerable. So that's being kind.
He uses his screen to blow up all the Schalke's heads off it, and I can't help but think that it cuts to the Valyar going, "The charge must now be genocide."
I just think that it's the Victor Pemberton thing of like, oh, the screen kills everybody, much like it did in Fury from the Deep and the Pescatons and his other sci-fi thing, The Slide.
It's good in Fury from the Deep, though, because it uses Victoria's...
Victoria. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they had to get some use out of Victoria since she showed up in Evil of the Daleks, didn't they?
Come on.
God, look, he's hanging on to an abyss that's leading to the Time Vault. Oh, it's all happening.
Well, now, I mean, I think you're a little ahead of me, but the ending of this is just the ending to Aliens. At the end of Aliens, Sigourney Weaver and the alien queen fight it out. They get sucked into outer space, a sort of wormhole-y, airlocky vortex. She falls out, holds onto the thing. The Schalke grabs onto her. Eventually they let go, kicks it off, and that's it. It's lifted wholesale from Aliens.
But Richard E. Grant doesn't call this slug a bitch.
No.
I'd love it if he did.
It would be great.
Now, what I would say about Richard E. Grant's Doctor, he's still very much in the guise of the old school Doctors. He's still, you know, he's still clutching lapels and saying "my dear" and things like that in a way that, you know, is all jettisoned when Russell brings the series back 18 months later.
So he's totally pushed away from that. Yeah.
So you put this in Classic Who, not New Who or New Who?
I think it's got more in common with Classic Who in terms of the characterization.
I also agree. Yeah. I also agree. But weirdly, I think the TV movie has more in common with New Who.
It does have sort of cinematic aspirations, like we've talked about going around the world and sort of big set pieces and things like that. But it's mired in the storytelling cliches of Classic Who. Understandably, Paul Cornell was a classic Doctor Who fan.
And he's done some newer stuff and interesting stuff in the New Adventures. But here, I get the feeling the commission probably was a bit more sort of make it new, but make it back to basics. So there's different ways you could interpret that, and ultimately we know Russell T. Davis's one was the one that they could make, was the one that people would latch onto. But you think about that Clayton Hickman, Gareth Roberts, Mark Gatiss Doctor Who that they pitched around this time, and that would have been, I mean,
that would have been awful.
It would. What was that?
There was a big article on it in Doctor Who magazine, but they pitched a thing like on the success.
It was seven three-parters that were like 20 to 30 minutes long that went out.
So just the McCoy era, basically.
Yeah, and it was BBC Two or BBC Three. They pitched
BBC
it to,
Two, yeah.
And their whole...
And what day? It was on a weird day. I swear it wasn't.
It was like a Sunday or something, I think, wasn't it? Which
weird day.
Yeah. But the whole thing was, it would have been somebody like Derek Jacobi playing the Doctor, and there would have been two companions, a male and a female, that there would have been a love interest in between.
They were from a village as well, a Victor, like an English village. It really didn't sound good.
The Doctor had lost his memory. And, you know, I'd like to revisit that article at some point. And
was it something to do with the, like, the Bourne identity and stuff in the 90s? Or, like, early 2000s? But, like, around that time, everyone just had to lose their memory, didn't they? In everything.
It just goes to show, when the show came back, you just needed someone whose head was not stuck in the past and was aware of what was going on in
TV around
him. Which
is the only thing that could have kept it They could have sold it and made it new and bigger.
I mean, I do wonder whether at the end of these three specials coming up, Rusty Davis is going to find a way to jettison the past in a big way.
I think so. I think it could happen.
I think I know how it'll happen.
Let's have a public meltdown. It's going to be amazing.
I also have a theory.
What, bigger than the Timeless Child? Like,
I've seen one bigger. Word. I've seen one word that makes me think I know how this is going
to
happen.
Dylan, I think you should put your theory on record, and then we'll know that you weren't lying when we find out.
We'll know when we know,
and we can come back to this episode.
I think we talk off the record.
Okay.
I'll tell you what we'll do. Well, let's get through Schalke, which is nearly done, thank God.
Oh, that old thing. Have we got to finish that?
And then we'll do a little bonus thing at the end as our post-speculation, post-thing.
I didn't know any of these changes were coming at all. This is a revelation.
They might not be. It might be business as fucking usual.
They might not.
I know. I've got it. It's what you said. You're now the showrunner of Doctor Who.
Take it later. We're going to talk about this later.
The Doctor gives Alison a kiss.
Yeah, aww. Is that the first kiss, Doctor companion kiss in Doctor? Oh no, we've had Grace.
TV movie.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And we've had Davidson and Nyssa. Let's not
they
forget.
They didn't kiss.
They necked off.
That wasn't a proper kiss, though, was it?
What Peter Davison and Sarah Sutton were doing when the cameras were off is between them, okay.
There's a reason
Sandra Dickinson, at least.
There's a reason he wanted to keep her on as the companion.
Only Gary Downey knows.
There's a reason he used to call her the keeper of Traken. It barely even works.
I always laugh at you.
Thank you very much. So the thuggy military guy's got sunburn. The Doctor takes the piss out of him, even though he's probably going to develop quite a serious skin cancer in the next few years. But
he looks horrible, doesn't he? Yeah. He looks the best.
I mean, the Earth is decimated at the end of this now. Like, it's not going back to normal.
Look at the flux, it was the entire universe there. You know,
I do wonder what that one line that Rusty Davis is going to throw in to sort of solve that problem of the flux.
He's not going to solve the problem that, well, we'll get to that. Post-credits. Yeah. Everybody stick around for the post-credits scene.
Look, can we just sum up Scream of the Shaco with, I think Paul Cornell says it best. What a fascinating sidestep this was, but I'm so pleased it wasn't the new Doctor Who.
Do you know what I said in part one or part two? I said, I can't, my eye just drifts away from it and I just can't concentrate on it and I'm just not interested in it. And all we've done in these six parts is talk about anything but Scream of the Schalke, which shows mentally we're all sort of the same.
We've all checked out a little bit when you're not paying attention to the performances, the dialogue and the set design.
And that is not our norm. When we talked about Mind War, we talked about Mind War for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
But for me, right. I mean, I check out, there is something in the format that just doesn't interest me. You might check out for different reasons, but overall, all three of us have checked out.
We have. But having said that, crouched over my laptop in my sad little hotel room in the middle of Belgium, I had a great old Sunday night watching this.
I think after watching it, not liking it, doing this podcast, if I was to watch it again in the future, sort of know the story, know the backstory, I think I quite enjoy it as now I've got this memory of it in a way.
Sometimes context is key, isn't it?
Now, yeah. The best line of this was just delivered by Derek Jacobi when he goes, and we'll probably never find the place that the Doctor calls Bognor Regis. And it's just delivered with such aplomb by Derek Jacobi. And there we go. Derek Jacobi, actually, is a much
comedy foil
in this.
He's an all right actor, isn't he?
I mean, Derek Jacobi's an all right actor, Sir Derek Jacobi.
My jaw has literally dropped. But then look at what they did with Jacobi in this and in Utopia. You know, like,
this is better. No, I'm kidding.
You
Christ.
Nutter.
I'm just trying to wind people up on Doctor Who.
Now I can say I was provoked. All right.
Chan, leave me alone, Toe.
Can you tie in the War Master to this Master in any way?
Big Finish can. Yeah, big Finish can.
They'll find a way. They probably have already.
Their most recent box set has got the War Master meeting Billis from Torchwood, meeting Professor Yana. So, I tell you now, they can fit this in.
If ever there was a way, Where there's a will, there's a way.
If ever there's a way, give it to Nick Briggs.
Fucking hell.
He's going to be the future showrunner.
He's not.
Oh, I'd love to see that just for a year. It'll be cancelled in a year.
Do you know what? I'm going to say something in favour of Nick Briggs. He absolutely doesn't have the experience to do it. But if he was given the chance to run the show and pillage his back catalogue and the Big Finish back catalogue, he could pull together a fantastic season of Doctor Who. But it'll never happen.
Dylan, I love you, but I couldn't disagree more.
No, I
think it would be absolutely...
He's got enough...
Talk about somebody whose head is stuck in the past.
Yeah, but, you know...
He's got enough of the back catalogue. I agree with your point.
I think if he was literally allowed to pillage that, like, sort of remakes and reimagine things that they've already done for Big Finish, if there was, say, a Doctor Who spin-off with a
Get Necromancer on screen.
Get the game with a 95-year-old William Russell in.
Oh, the game. I quite like that one.
No
it's
one
like
remembers what happened in the game.
I do. It's like a it's thematic of football.
Oh, yeah, is, yeah. It? I'm instantly turning
Very
off Doctor
short
Who fans.
Episodes. Oh, yeah. Look, Screaming the Shaka ended.
I'm still going. Mine's still going too. I'm a big fan of the TARDIS Nokia phone, the little blue TARDIS Nokia. If the Doctor had a little blue iPhone now, I wouldn't be averse to that.
No. It's very odd that they've gone for that John Pertwee graphic, isn't it?
What, of the TARDIS?
It's colourful.
Or...
It's colourful.
No, in the titles. It's literally the John Pertwee the graphic from the beginning of the John Pertwee title sequence. Talk about you having your head stuck in the past.
I've got a sneaking suspicion the new titles are going to pay homage to that, only because the Diamond logo's back. And I know that wasn't from that era, but if you're looking for a vortex for the Diamond logo to go through... A sort of diamond, the Pertwee one is the diamondy one, isn't it?
Somehow that logo doesn't suit any cover anywhere. They've managed to find the word. It's a great logo, but you put it in a cover with people and things, it just doesn't work at all.
I'm finally hearing the drum and bass remix. It's quite good.
It's a fucking banger, isn't it? Like,
it's quite good.
Weren't you hearing it when you watched it?
I might have switched it off as soon as it ended.
Fast forward to sort of 11 p.m. on the 23rd of November, and I had a big party after watching the Daleks in colour. You know, I'll be half a bottle of vodka down dancing to this.
I'll probably be watching Doctor Who poop. That's what I do when I'm drunk and get into Doctor Who. I just watch Doctor Who poop over and over.
Oh, I watch reaction videos of people reacting to my favourite moments in Doctor Who.
Oh, God.
I'm a fucking loser. So
I don't drink, so I can't join in this conversation.
No, but you do the same things we do, but sober, which is even worse.
Oh, no.
Right. Look, we've reached the end, and I'm very pleased we got through Scream of the Shalka together. What an experience, even if we didn't cover Scream of the Shalka for all of it. So does anybody
I think we've got about 15 minutes, so we've got one episode's worth of content about Scream of the Shalka in there.
So is there any final thoughts, or are we done? Have we said everything we want to say?
Just thank fuck Doctor Who came back and we didn't get 13 series of this.
I couldn't agree
I think
more.
It's very odd that they went for something as inoffensive as this.
Yeah.
You know?
In many ways, it's not a bold enough reinvention. It's too traditional, but not traditional enough to please fans. But it's not bold enough of a reinvention for fans to go, oh, I can see where they're going, but also really attract loads of a new audience. So it hasn't strayed in the right or wrong direction too much.
What would have been more interesting would be if they had done three stories, so we could have seen how diverse this could have been and other sort of possibilities. But on its own strengths, I think it is perfectly watchable, but never particularly gripping.
It's just not interesting, is it? It's about as interesting as the sets and the power of Kroll.
But we've watched it, so you don't have to.
Exactly.
Unless you want to.
Yeah.
On this fine
day. No one's going to stop you.
Yeah, but don't do it today.
No. Doctor Who's 60th anniversary, it was the whole Hooniverse, and you fucking losers have sat down to watch Scream of the Shalka.
Someone will watch this today.
God bless them.
Well, someone will spend the day with us, which is quite nice for them, I think.
Someone's got to. So look, we only have one thing left to do. Luke, is it a clanger, a banger, or an average meander?
Clanger.
Clanger. What about you, Joe?
I think it's an average meander, because I've said throughout it's kind of average.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for that sort of middle ground. I don't think it's utterly offensive, and it's certainly not veering towards a classic at all.
I too will go average meander. It was wonderful to revisit it. Yeah, at six episodes, I was struggling for new and interesting things to say throughout the whole thing. But I'm glad it exists as a fun little sidestep, and I'm glad it wasn't the final nail in the coffin for Doctor Who either.
I'm glad it exists. It feels almost too angry, too passionate to call it a clanger when I just have no empathy or emotion for it whatsoever.
You're a heartless bitch.
It's a clanger.
And, you know, let's just say one more time that the producer, the director, the writer, all of them say, you know, we were on a hiding to nothing and we're very pleased that this didn't go any further. I think that says enough about Screaming the Shoutcut, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. So, look, guys, it's the Doctor Who 60th anniversary. We've all made it. We're here.
Oh, yeah.
We're there. As, you know, as this goes out...
Meep, meep.
Beat the Meep will have been watched by many a people, or, you know, they'll be listening to this the next day. Who fucking knows? But what a milestone for the show and for us Doctor Who podcasters talking shit about Doctor Who 24/7. So you don't have to. Is there anything you want to say to the listeners at home on Doctor Who's 60th anniversary, Luke Malloy?
We've got a bloody Martian in the shed.
Joe Ford.
Sorry, that's all you were getting to say, I'm afraid. I love Doctor Who. I love you guys. I'm terribly excited for today. Happy anniversary, Doctor Who.
Enjoy it.
And a happy anniversary, a 60th anniversary to all of you at home. Cut it there.
Hey,
there cut it go. There.
TV.
Just a quick warning to say this may contain, or may not contain, massive spoilers for the forthcoming Doctor Who specials and indeed the series afterwards. This is based on a small amount of speculation online. We're just talking about what we think might happen in the 60th that changes the course of Doctor Who forever. No biggie.
So, it has been cut there, but now, do we want our very quick follow-up to the 60th speculation of where we think it's going to go? What's the one word you keep hearing?
I've seen it in the past couple of days and then I've muted it on Twitter because it's becoming more of a thing and I don't want to... Although it implies something, which I already... So I've already, like, no, I just don't want to actually see any more of it. The word I keep hearing is bi-regeneration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been fucking everywhere.
There's a whole synopsis about it online.
That's the thing I was being avoiding. But you can already sort of look.
So what's the premise of it?
Well, my guess, and I've not read anything, I'd say I've literally just seen that one word, but seeing that one word, I'm thinking that an element of Doctor Who sort of dies with that 14th Doctor, and at the same time as the 14th Doctor comes out, Shitty comes out and we sort of start anew in one way.
I think the Shooty Gatwa Doctor is going to be similar to the Metacrisis Doctor, except full Doctor.
Oh, okay. Like an offshoot of the Doctor. So that's
I think that whatever happens, I think that Shooty is somehow a new Doctor, but like new Doctor. Perhaps not even with all the memories or the experiences of the previous Doctor.
Yeah, some sort of reset happens. So you've got one Doctor that is like totally soaked in all the classic lore and stories and everything. And one Doctor that's totally fresh. The universe is fresh with that Doctor in it. And it's,
I don't think that's a bad thing, though.
Totally goes against.
Jettisoning 60 years behind.
No, I don't think it's a bad thing either. I think this is the... And then, so seeing that word everywhere yesterday and now reading RTD's column today where he's like, basically, after these three specials, there's something big change coming, like, try and embrace it joyously. It does seem to point that way. But no, I think...
How strange that we've got to the point where fandom has to be warned about this sort of thing because he knows how fucking mad they all are.
The universe is just hard and stupid to sort of coordinate at all because it's got 60 years behind it. It would sort and Moffat tried but didn't go far enough with it.
I wonder if Disney might have said to him, actually, do you know what? We'll give you a bit of money, but we've got to sort of be year dot.
The only thing that's interesting about it is. And this probably is more of a fan thing anyway. It's the fact that he's like officially called the 15th Doctor, so he can reset it all, and you can.
He's
keep
called
it
for the moment. He's called it for the moment, but I wonder whether that's just holding things back. And actually,
Doctor 1.2.
No, has that actually been announced? Have they actually said the 15th?
Yeah,
Doctor?
They say it quite a lot in official things.
Yeah, but I wonder whether it just becomes the Doctor, the only Doctor.
I have already seen. People going crazy about that word and that synopsis, even though none of it's confirmed.
Well, yeah, of course.
So, is this synopsis for the Christmas special? I'm guessing. Yeah. Is this the leaked plot?
I won't tell you what's in it, but there was a leaked plot for that, and it said certain things about the specials. It was by no means a. It was by no means a full breakdown of the plot of either of them, and actually it made both of them sound terrible, which I don't believe.
It did.
But I've said it many times before, like,
the only thing
butcher the description of many a classic by telling it on a Reddit.
The only things I've sort of pieced together without reading any of this stuff is that Murray Gold at the concert said about Ruby not having parents. And this is something that people who've read the leak are very like, oh yeah, we know what that is. And then also that rumour ages and ages ago that Davina McCall's in the Christmas special. And then putting them two together in my head, I was thinking, does she go on that Davina McCall show where you find your long-lost family?
And,
not saying a word.
And remember when Damaged Goods was announced was remade by Big Finish? Ross T. Davis talks about the opening of that episode of Damaged Goods, of talking about a child been handed over at midnight in mysterious circumstances.
No.
And he says in that interview, that's still a great opening. We should use that one day. I might still use it in Doctor Who if I ever write Doctor Who again. And I'm not saying the Christmas special is Damaged Goods, it can't be Damaged Goods.
It is a good image, though. It is a good image.
But I just like it is weird because it will fracture fandom because there are some people that will utterly resist the show going down a new path like that and sort of distancing itself a bit from what's been. They just want that continuous story, don't they?
I know, and I think every time, you know, pretty much as I've turned like 16, I'd say over the last 10 years, every single time Doctor Who's tried to go down a new path, I've resisted it and hated it. And I'm trying to go into this quite open-minded and joyous for the first time. Now I'm mature enough to take it.
But look at something like War Games to Spearhead from Space. Like, that was an utter rejection of everything the show did. Take away the TARDIS, take away the time travel, take away that, you know, and you're stuck on Earth telling one type of story.
I'm hoping it just, when I sit down, it just entertains me because that's all I need right now. Because anything that pisses me off won't piss me off in a year or two's time.
If it is a big reboot, surely that will piss Doctor Who fans off more than The Timeless Child, because The Timeless Child adds pre-canon, but it doesn't affect the canon for most people. But
she's still the 13th Doctor. It's still a continuation of the story.
But it sounds like it's going to be like a canon reboot.
What's worse is he's going to reboot the canon and keep The Timeless Child established.
Yeah.
It's like a double lose, isn't it, for some people?
I do think quite a lot of the people that hate the Chibnallia and Jodie Whittaker aren't going to like what
absolutely
happens in the next couple of stories, and they're going to be like, shit, what do I do now? Because I've been waiting for fucking 2 or 3 years for this.
And they've been spending the last sort of year going, fucking hell, Chibnall's gone great, our saviour's here.
I've said it before, I think people don't realise it, but the jumping off point was the Jodie Whittaker era for a lot of classic Doctor Who fans especially. Not exclusively, but I actually think, despite what's happening in these Tennant specials, the people who jumped off are going to stay jumped off.
It's really weird because when RTD talks about the shit you get with series and that, it sounds like it's all of the same tone and same energy as sort of what he's done and sort of what these specials are. But I do think there's going to be this seismic shift.
Good. That... We need it.
Oh, yeah, we totally need it.
Wait, you got me more excited than I already was. Now, if it's just a continuation, I'll be like, for fuck's sake, those two. Get me all excited.
Yeah, it could go either way.
Doctor Who! Too hot for TV.